from the 15th. I went to the bank actually to get some money. The bank was out of cash. It was interesting. The bank was like two streets away from my apartment where I live. And I saw a crowd, like 500 people. And then I told people, excuse me, I need to go to the bank. And they said, yeah, we too. I was like, oh, okay. And then we were standing there until the security guards getting out and they said, there's no cash, go. And then we were going back home. But in that queue, everyone, calling, some said that they seen Taliban in some parts of the town. And then they were like, no, it's a rumor, it's a gossip, no, it's not true. So it was a lot of what will happen. And people wanted to take the cash from the bank in case if anything happened. But then we went to the main street and then we saw this Taliban's car on the streets. And then people were running everywhere, And I'm a film director, so I was just standing there and just watching this. It was really surreal to me. I was watching, I was working in TV before myself. I was following their propaganda cinema for 10 years. So I was, when my parents lived in the mountain in central Afghanistan. So whenever I had to visit them, I had to drove 5 hours and then we had to drove through the Taliban area. So we saw these soldiers here and there, but I've never seen them in downtown Kabul. That was a place that I would never imagine that I would see them. I went home and I realized that everything ended. My sisters come, my parents came, everyone, they gathered in my place. I didn't go out for 2 or 3 days because I lived in a part of downtown Kabul where are all these cafes and restaurants and it was really vibrant. But then there was no one. I could see from the window that there's no one. And I wanted to go out, but I didn't know what to wear. I had a burqa at home, but I didn't want to wear it before anyone say that you have to wear it, right? So I was very confused how to go. And then after 3 days, I saw a woman on the street and then I got the courage and I left the house and we went to the airport. And at the time, my producer Katia, all the producers, everyone that I knew from the film business, they were, trying to put my name in the list and help me out. And I was together with my family. So it made it difficult because everyone wanted to help me, but not my family. And then I was saying excuse me, I can leave anytime I want. Maybe not now, but later. But my family are important because who cares about my mom and dad that they're old farmers from mountains, who care about them or who care about my nieces and nephews. So I was kind of tickets for my family to take them out. And then we finally did it after 8-9 days. We went to the airport for 72 hours. And then we finally passed the checkpoint, ended up in France for 3 weeks, and then we came to Germany.
Was it always clear for you that you would leave, or did you also consider staying?
This was the thing, because 15th of August didn't happen only on 15th of August. It was a long process. I remember it. I recall it since 2012, that it was always this topic that America will leave Afghanistan. American troops gonna take some of their forces. Background, the military base, they're gonna be like this. It was always conversation going on. And then in 2014, which was really a horrible year for me. That was the year that a big number of American troops, they left Afghanistan. And since then, because I just left the TV where I was working and I wanted to make my debut film. And the producer, the German producer, she traveled with me to Afghanistan. And for me, we had different perspective because for me, it was home where I lived. And for her, it was this is unsafe. This is a war country. So she didn't want to take the risk for European crew. And we had election and the election went wrong. We went to the second round. And at the same time, because American troops, a big number of them, they left the country. A lot of people, they left Afghanistan and middle class, they left Kabul. So suddenly I'm locked in it. I was for 1 year, I was in a lockdown. I couldn't go out because they were suicide attack in supermarket, in the restaurant, on the motorcycle. They just shoot you on the some random people, a journalist or people working for government. So it was not safe to go outside. But on the other hand, I go outside to meet who? All my friends, they left. And then I don't have any money. I cannot shoot my film. Katia doesn't want to come to Afghanistan. So it was really psychologically, it was a torture. Since I remember in Kabul, and especially from 2014, after this incident, this event, it was always everyday topic. Whenever you meet your friends or whenever you meet other people, it was always the question, do you want to leave or do you want to stay? And whoever who got the chance to leave, because it's not easy. With the Afghan passport, no one wants to give you a Schengen visa or whatever visa. So it's very automatically it happens that with the Afghan passport, when you get a Schengen visa for whatever, for a seminar, for a workshop, or you are a journalist, you get, whatever, it's so automatically that you have to stay. For a lot of people, I was confusing them because I was a filmmaker traveling a lot and I was going back. So every time they told me you have to go back because you have the chance, you have the opportunity. And a lot of people thought I'm making a lot of money. That's the reason I'm staying, which is not true. I was always poor. I am. This was a topic for all the time. And what I did, because my cinema is about everyday life. And even though I was not able to shoot my films in Afghanistan, but I lived in Afghanistan so I could digest everything and what is happening and write about it. And then I cast people from Afghanistan and then I ship them to another location, which was in Tajikistan, for example. In 2021, I become 30. And that was like also the crisis of 30 for women and all this, you know. But I decided to buy myself an apartment with the all money that I made, with the orphanage, orphanship, with the money of No Good Man for writing, like all the money that I saved. I bought myself an apartment because I wanted to put an end to this conversation. Do I leave? Do I stay? No, I stay. This is my apartment. I'm going to stay, whatever happens. You know, this is a life I choose. And then 8 months after, the country called. Now, if you talk to a lot of Afghan people, unconsciously, probably unconsciously, but also unconsciously, I think, they're kind of romanticizing the era of democracy, especially men, Afghan men, they do that a lot. They're kind of romanticizing that era, telling that everything was roses and flowers. And now Taliban, they are the biggest problem of Afghanistan. Mm. But for women, they think differently. Because for women, even in the era of democracy, there were a lot of limits and restrictions because the core, the society was like deeply patriarchal. And now with Taliban, it's upgraded. But for women, the situation has not, I mean, it changed, but you know what I mean? Like the base was always existed. But for a lot of Afghan men, they do not realize that just by being men in that society, they're already privileged. They do not understand it. So whenever women are talking about their experiences, they feel attacked and they feel like, you know, they feel like they have to mock Afghan feminists because instead of concentrating on Taliban, they're talking about patriarchy, which is completely irrelevant in their opinion. So there is a gap between. So what I wanted to say is like in the era of democracy, yes, the situation was there were like a lot of opportunities, but we had like this corrupted government and there were like a bunch of liars and thieves. You know, like one thing, the situation of Afghanistan today, one thing, the big part was like, yeah, international community, that they were very irresponsible toward Afghanistan and the abuse of Afghanistan the last 20 years, but also invaded Afghanistan, but also Afghan politicians. They were so fucking corrupted. They were thieves. They were just buying for themselves property in Dubai and like taking their family out and being completely irresponsible. So they were like completely, it was very like typical authorities coming to TV and lying, you know, on the face of people. And saying like, oh, everything is fine. America, they will never leave Afghanistan and this situation is going to be forever. And now it's very, for me, it's like torturing. I see the same men. Now they are like Afghan in exile, you know, like dead to Taliban. I'm like, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? No. It's a lot of complexity in any situation, but also in Afghanistan. But people like to simplify it. My experience in TV, well, I was not a camerawoman. I was a producer for a cooking show, which was as stupid as the show in the film, but in a different level. Because I had this manager and he was very like sexist and he thought cooking and women go well together. So just because I was a woman, he put me in this cooking show. And at the time, I hate cooking. It was really a torture to record 6-7 episodes per week. But I was stuck there. And Anwar was working in the news as business producer. And we never worked together in real life. But for me, you know, experiencing being part of this Afghan media, seeing how journalists are working, knowing Anwar, knowing other colleagues, you know, having this close up, how journalists are doing their job in Afghanistan, it was a lot of details. And also, like, I did a research back in 2021, like 3-4 months before the return of Taliban. I was back to the TV and I was following the journalists for 4 or 5 weeks. And I was really like, you know, like going to following like 6-7 journalists in a day. And it was really, really intense. A lot of details comes from the world that I knew. But you know, it's kind of similar because you are a woman. Okay, even if you don't compare it with journalists, just with filmmaking. Every field, they are male dominated. So as a woman, you want to do something and you have your opinion. You always are narrow in a way. You know what I mean? Because the system is broken. It's not about media. It's not about filmmaking. It's about the whole system. They treat you like not like a human being. As a woman who lived in downtown Kabul and I had like my certain freedom just because I lived there, just because I lived in this bubble, which was completely different. And I was like considered one of the luckiest and most privileged women of Afghanistan. It was really why I'm saying this, because the moment you leave this downtown, you lose as a woman, you lose all your big part or all your independence. Suddenly you are a property of a man. For example, even in Kabul, even me, you know, like I was traveling all around the world and my passport was like all like the stamps from everywhere, you know, but when my passport was extended, I go to the passport office and they asked me to bring my husband or my father or my brother. I was lucky that I was a freelancer. I was working for myself after TV experience. But the moment that you encounter the law or the system or the authorities, you're half human. This is the thing, like a lot of men in Afghan society, but also a lot of women, because they're also educated by patriarchal society, right? They do not know when a woman is angry or frustrated, they do not know where this anger is coming from. They think it's irrelevant. You know, like if you are a woman who is a little bit aware and who, you know, who can see the bigger picture, it's really like pain in the back. In my mind, it was a process and everything happened by itself. When people, I get this question a lot from the press, you know, do you identify yourself as a political filmmaker? And my answer is like, not, no, because you're a political filmmaker. You're making, you start a project with an agenda. You already know, okay, the situation of women is horrible. I'm going to make a film about women. That was not the case with me. I was interested about the everyday life of a woman who is close to me. I was interested about journalism in Afghanistan because of my background. I was interested to talk about later about this period that is not existent anymore, that people are romanticizing it. But I was not really able to tell you what my film is about. It was really a long process, and it took me like 3 years to understand that I'm talking about patriarchy. You know, it took me like 12 drafts of a script. I could tell you in 5 minutes what my film is about, but I could not tell you in one word or one sentence what my film is, you know. And this is what I really like, because like a lot of, like in the film school here, or like when you, like a lot of filmmakers, the way that they do, the way that you have to do application is like, you have to first have a log line and have a synopsis and have a treatment and have a script. And it comes like that. For me, I cannot have a synopsis or treatment. I write the script. And then when I'm writing the first scene, I don't know what I'm writing. And then the second scene, I do not know what the second scene is. You know what I mean? I'm loaded with all the things that I want to. And then I figured out what I want. What is it that matters to me so much, but I'm not able to explain it right now. I get the financing or not, I have to make it, because I cannot let it go. It's something. I think I was really like frustrated at the time. Like even now, like, and now I'm talking to you, like, I always had this anger and this frustration, you know, that I wanted to talk about it, because you see films from Afghanistan and you don't know, those films are completely irrelevant, you know, like it's always like these hero films that how foreigners are saving this, how American they are saving these people. Or they're kind of dehumanizing Afghan characters. Even if you live in a sad country like Afghanistan or in a war country like Afghanistan, you are not in the state of being sad 24/7. Still, you're living your everyday life. You still have, you know, like you still make love, you still kiss, you still have sex, you still talk to your friends. Yet having like this intense conversation with your girlfriends or with your, you know, with your circle. And okay, then an explosion is happening also there, and then they close the streets, and then you have to take the other streets. And oh, you get a call that your friend lost his brother because he was in the wrong place in the wrong time. It's just, for me, it's just very normal. It's just that this is the insider perspective that is missing. And this is something that I'm hoping that Afghanistan has a cinema one day, so we can tell this kind of a stories even more. Your voice, these long streets in Kabul, I bet on my life and my honor that every single couple in Kabul drove that street, because that was the longest street that you could make out in the car, including me and my boyfriend. You know what I mean? Because the only place that you could hang out, you could have a little bit of private, it was the car. Because in Afghanistan, it's a kind of society that you do not, like, individuality is not existent. It's not about me. It's about me taking care of other people. And you are not only responsible for your immediate family, but also for your extended family. Of course, I'm talking about women more because I'm a woman. I'm talking about my experiences. But also being men is really difficult. If you're a man living in such society, you are like 18 and you are getting married with your cousin. And then when you are like 30, suddenly you're the father of like 6. And then you are like, fuck. Then you are like 40 and you meet a woman. You feel love for the first time. You are like, I never experienced this. But at the same time, you feel guilty because you're married and you're responsible for this. And they are like, and this kind of topics have never been discussed in Afghan society, because Afghan society is a very pretentious society. They always lie. They do not talk. We always build this image for ourselves, and inside and outside are different. And then you feel you carry this guilt. Really crazy. For me, that's why I really wanted to show this moment, this situation, that in a human level, you know, not judging, because both of them, they are married. In a human level, what happens, like when you meet someone else and then you feel like you have feelings for this person, but your situation is in a way that you cannot do anything, you know?
There is the orphanage and your recent film, and on the moment that the Taliban invade, do you feel that history is bound to repeat itself?
Oh yeah, that's a very good question that you asked, because when I was doing the orphanage, I was talking about this era of time in the early 90s, the pro-Soviet government, they just collapsed, and then Mujahideen, they took Kabul, and then it was the start of civil war for 5 years, and then Taliban arrived. It was very interesting because Andal was talking about this all the time. You know, he was there and he was a stalk at the war. I had like this perspective, but I realized, like, when 15th of August happened, I suddenly realized that I understand, you know, like this moment that you collect all your certificate, like film. I had to like burn all my certificate and film awards, and like I had to break down all the awards that I got from the festival, because we didn't know if they search the houses, what will happen. Like I had this guitar, we had to break it down. It was really like this moment in the orphanage. But I think what I was missing in the orphanage because I didn't know. I was just making something that I did not feel it myself to my core. It was this uncertainty. Because at the time, in 15th of August, what I experienced, it was exactly the same thing. But deep down, I really felt that you do not know what is happening, what is coming next. And this foggy, it really makes, because you do not know everything that you, and you cannot just do anything because every step that you can take can end your life. So this uncertainty is really something that I wish I knew it before doing the orphanage. I mean, you probably see it in the film, but it was not coming from me, you know? We had like the three actors, the two girlfriends of Naru, the Anita and Laila, the two girlfriends of Naru and the news manager. They're in US and they cannot travel because if they travel, they cannot go back. So we wanted them to be present. We wanted to explain it later in the press conference, but it got where in this TV that I was working, Taliban did attack the staff shuttle. So they killed 7 people. And injured, like a lot of people were injured. We knew them and everyone know them, you know, like, and today we're going to have a lot of people working, colleagues working in Tulu TV, in the TV that I was working. And it's going to be very emotional because for them, it's like personal.